Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the success strategies and the secrets of the top 1% so you can amplify and transform your life in your business. Today's guest, I'm super excited and honored to have on the show, is Chandler Bolt. He is the author of 5 best-selling books, including Book Launch, and his most recent book titled Published. He's also the founder and CEO of Self Publishing School. It's the number one online resource for writing your first book. Through his books, training, videos, and Self Publishing School, he's helped thousands of people on their journey to writing their first book. Chandler, I want to welcome you to Making Bank.
Josh, great to be here, man. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Tell me a little bit about your background. I was doing a little bit of research and really, you know, dove in and just found, I mean, you went from a broke college student to a millionaire in 18 months. I mean, tell us a little bit about, you know, how did you do that and what was going on?
Yeah, so it's, I decided to drop out of school. I got tired of learning how to run a business from professors who had never ran a business. That really didn't make too much sense to me. So I ran some small businesses in high school and in college, and my dad runs a construction company, so
okay.
a local business back where I'm from, which is South Carolina, so out kind of in the country.
Awesome.
Very blue collar family. My parents met at a factory, and they kind of like worked their way into being like I don't know a little version of the American dream, right? Like
right.
they both run their own companies, which is cool. So that inspired me growing up. I started my first couple companies when I was younger. So when I was in high school and college, and then eventually decided to drop out. I wrote a book that kind of in the meantime. So I dropped out of school and I knew I wanted to start a business, but I didn't know what that business was going to be.
Okay.
So I ended up writing a book, and that kind of changed everything for me. When I published my book, it brought in close to $7,000 in the first month.
Wow.
And continued to bring in thousands of dollars every month in passive income. So it was one of those things where I said, you know, that whole rich dad, poor dad, Robert Kiyosaki, it's like passive income equals real estate. And then I determined that I didn't have enough money to buy real estate. So I guess I can't have any passive income. And then the book started making all this money. And really, the bigger thing than the passive income was the opportunities beyond it, you know?
Sure.
Being able to be on podcasts like this, you know, Business Insider, Huffington Post, building an email list, a business, like all of these things. And so that really sparked down into self-publishing school. We launched self-publishing school in February of 2015, went from 0 to 1.32 million that year. And then we'll do about 2.25 this year. So
that's phenomenal. I mean, so when you were writing your first book, tell me about, because I'm not the best writer. So, I mean, were you just a natural writer, or, you know, how did you kind of find that way that was going to work for you and really make it flow?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm definitely the opposite of the world's greatest writer. In fact, I was a horrible writer and I hate it. So my story is I'm a C-level English student. I'm a college dropout, and I'm someone who not only hated writing, but I was really, really bad at it. So I'm under the firm belief that if I can write a book, and in fact, if I can write 6 books, I mean, this book published, this just came out at the time of this recording this interview, like a little bit ago. And if you would have told me, I mean, this is in the span of, we have published these 6 books in 3 years.
Wow.
3-4 years. So, I mean, if you would have told me that, like, 4 years ago that I'd have 6 books, I would have said, that's crazy. And that doesn't even sound fun. And you know, I just kind of tripped and fell into doing this book. And I'm a firm believer, if you want to get somewhere, you ask someone who's been there how they
sure.
did it. So I had some mentors in my life who had published books, and I said, hey, how have you done this? Give me some tips. And then they taught me a little bit, and then I just kind of ran with it.
That's awesome. One of the things you did mention was mentors. I mean, I think that's a huge part of any type of business you're moving forward into, success and everything as well. What was one key component you found that helped you write your book and get it done? Because so I've co-authored a couple other books with people, but it's more been verbally speaking and having somebody help craft the content. Yep. And everything. And then now I'm working on my own book, and so it's taken a lot longer process to get that done, not 6 books in 3 years as yourself.
Right. Well, there's a couple things. So one is Parkinson's law, which says that an object will swell in proportion to the amount of time or resources that you give yourself to complete it. So the first misconception is that it's going to take 2 years to write a book. And I like to compress that because just like the average American spends 3% more than they earn. Right. And just like when you had a paper or a project due in school, you would crunch and get it done the night before. Sure. You always, it's going to fill the container that you give it, whatever container that is. And what are the thing that you have to get done? It's going to fill the container. And writing a book is no exception. Even if you have a big time publishing deal, most of those authors write 90% of the book in the last 2 months before their manuscript deadline, right? It's right. Just Parkinson's law.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in crunching the timeline. And then I have this three-step process, which is mind map, outline, write, which without, okay. I mean, I could spend a long time going into that, but the gist of it is taking a piece of paper, dumping everything out of your head onto paper, what could potentially be the book. Then you take some common themes that pop up on that mind map. You form 4 to 7 sections. So these will be like sections that you would write. So there's 4 to 7 of them. You order them, and then you drill down into those sections and do more topics, like 3 to 4 topics for each section. And then that becomes a chapter by chapter roadmap, which is your outline, which is step 2. And then in step 3, writing the book, you've got 2 paths you can take. So you're going to repeat the mind map and outline process, but on a chapter by chapter basis.
Okay.
So you'll take 10 minutes to mind map everything you know in that chapter. You'll take 10 minutes to then turn that mind map into an outline. And then you can either, this is where you, it's kind of like a choose your own adventure. You can spend 40 minutes to an hour actually writing the chapter, or like you mentioned, Josh, you can speak the chapter and then get that transcribed, and then you have something to work with. But I found that pre-work is really important, especially if you're speaking, because most people will just fire up the recorder, right, and start talking, and then 30 minutes later, they don't know where they are or how they got there, and so it helps to actually have kind of a structure. That way, it's going to shortcut your time to get that rough draft completed.
Sure. Okay. No, and that makes sense. Is, you know, being able to utilize the information you have to create kind of that path to follow along with that definitely makes sense. So I guess, you know, tell me a little bit about when you were starting self-publishing school, and I mean, obviously it's a huge success. What were some of those initial challenges? I mean, cause you came from a non, you know, business type background, and you know, this was basically your first entrepreneurial venture, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. Well, I'd done a few before this, but small scale, right? Okay. The most that I'd hit was 6 figures.
Okay.
Which I don't, you know, depending on what you consider small scale, that was like a big time success for me.
Yeah, for anybody, probably. 6 figures,
yeah. But I'd done a couple of things, and I mean, I had a decent foundation from stuff that I'd learned from my dad.
Okay.
And from my parents. I mean, I've written a whole book on the lessons I've learned from them that I thought were normal, and I got out into the real world and realized no one gets taught this stuff. And so that's a whole book that I've written in itself. But I had a decent foundation. I do want to put a big asterisk here, because a lot of people that would be listening or watching this, they're immediately like, oh, knew it, Chandler. You know, my parents weren't entrepreneurs. I'm just doomed.
Right.
Right. And so I want to just kind of pump the brakes on that and say that did not make me successful. The biggest thing that my parents taught me was work ethic. And I've always been kind of the rawest, you know, in sports. It'd be like, I would be up against guys who their parents paid for them to have lessons since they were like 2 years old. And they have got like the perfect shot or the perfect swing or whatever. And I would just be out there and I looked like a caveman. Or like in baseball, they called me the robot. And I was a pitcher. They called me Herky Jerky. That's what it was. Herky Jerky. And so I was never the most polished, but I knew that I could outwork everyone. And I knew that if you give me, it's kind of like the whole Will Smith, I will die on this treadmill.
Right.
You know, where he say, you put me on the treadmill, I'll die on that treadmill because you're not going to outwork me.
Yeah.
That's a very similar thing. So I think that's been the key to my success in growing this company is, there's been a ton of really tough points. And, you know, there's been some success as well, but just kind of continually just chipping away at it.
Sure.
And you get kind of punched in the stomach, and then you're like, ooh, that hurt. All right, got to get back up. You get punched again. And then, you know, it's the highs and the lows, but I think that's what makes entrepreneurship so exciting.
Tell me a little bit about what were three defining moments that were in your life that, you know, helped you take that next level?
Ooh. there's three that quickly come to mind. Sure. The first one is when I was running my business with Student Painters, my goal from day one was to be number one in the country and number one in the company. There's managers all over. So this is Student Painters. They teach you how to run a business by running an exterior house painting company.
Okay.
I know you're in Ohio. They're pretty big there. You probably see the red signs everywhere. Yep. That you maybe even had them knock on your door and try to sell you a paint job. Like, it's a pretty cool company. And I remember, you know, that was my goal from day one. And then a few weeks into the summer, it had rained all summer. And obviously you can't paint the outside of houses when it's raining. And so my guys weren't getting any hours.
Right.
So I took my one vacation that I was going to take all summer. And I'd been working, I'm talking like at least minimum 13-hour days every single day, like
sure.
up at 5-something. And then I get home at 9 p.m. and then eat some dinner and then wake up, do it again. And this is like for months. And I had just taken my one vacation to a music festival. My brother plays in a rock and roll band called Need to Breathe. And they were playing nice. At this music festival. And I was there and I had my manager call me up and he let me know that pretty much my whole team was quitting because they weren't getting their hours.
Right. Yeah.
And so they weren't making the money that they needed to make. And it was just like this punch in the stomach. And I just remember driving at the end of this music festival, driving all the way back home through the night. I threw my bags down at 8 a.m. I picked up a paintbrush and I went out on the job and I started painting because all my painters had quit pretty much. And it was just this horrible feeling of I've sold all this work. I don't know if I'm going to be able to fulfill it.
Sure.
And for the first time all summer, I said to myself, I don't know if I can make it. Like for the first time, I lost belief that I would hit 100,000 and that I would be number one in the company. And in the country. And then it came all the way back from that. So I ended up doing both of those things. I did 102 and I was number one in the country for all managers. And this is my first year. And I just remember being on the cruise. They do a rewards cruise. They give you a reward and I just remember holding that thing on top of the cruise ship, just looking out over the ocean at night thinking like, oh my gosh, that was the defining moment for me. And if I almost quit, and
right.
if I would have, it put in perspective for me that your greatest successes lie just beyond your biggest failures.
Yeah.
It's so important is whenever I think I need to quit or I'm about to quit, I know because I've seen it happen firsthand that just beyond that is actually where the biggest success lies. So it kind of helps me get some perspective. So that's a long answer for the first
that's
defining
awesome.
Moment. The second defining moment was I had a friend tragically pass away, and he was on a cruise with Student Painters. He fell two wow. stories in a tragic accident, landed on his head, passed away, and that reminded me a couple things. And I could go way into this, and I've got a YouTube video that kind of gives the whole story on this. And this was like the biggest impact in my whole life. He was 20 years old. And he passed away, and that reminded me that A, life is short, and B, that I mean it really made me just reflect on what I was doing, and I was living for the wrong reasons, I was doing things for the wrong reasons, so it really kind of made me stop and reflect that I need to reevaluate, and it made me ask a couple questions. Like one was, if I were to die tomorrow, would I be happy with the life that I lived? The answer to that question was definitely not.
Right.
And the second thing that I asked was, okay, what am I doing about it? And that really shifted. And I said, hey, what I'm doing with self-publishing school is actually making people's lives better. So I doubled down. And it's a whole story, but that really shook me to my core. And then the third defining moment was in January this year, I showed up to my company retreat and I found out from one of my employees that my business partner was trying to kick me out of the business. And I went through this full mediation, business partner mediation. We negotiated a buyout. I bought him out of the business and it was just rough. Like it was this time where I didn't know whether I was going to get the company, whether I would lose it. You know,
sure.
I put my heart and soul and just slaved to make this thing what it is over the course of a year and a half, 2 years. And it's like, this might just get yanked out from under me. And so really the lesson learned from there, I'm trying to give like defining moment and lesson learned.
Awesome.
The lesson learned there was that you can get in some real trouble when your identity is tied to your business. I realized that my identity was tied to the success of my business, which is not healthy, because if your business is going well, then you have great self-worth. If your business is going poorly, you have horrible self-worth, and your self-worth should be independent of that. So I've been kind of on a track since then to really pull my self-worth and my confidence out from my business success and say, hey, this doesn't define me as a human being.
Right.
I need to have enough, confidence in myself outside of just how, what's the P&L say for this month, or what's the balance sheet looking like, whatever that is.
Those are two awesome, three awesome points, but I mean, just even myself, been through exact same thing. Business partner had to get him out of the company for other reasons, and then being tied so much to a business, it's like, man, it's not, when it's down, you're just like, you're feeling horrible and stuff about it. And so, I think giving both, hey, here's what it was, and here's kind of the lesson I learned, is awesome. And I hope everyone's out there writing down notes, taking notes, if not, rewind and watch that part again, because that'll help anything that you're doing in your life transform your business and yourself. So, what are some of your daily habits? It sounds like, you're pretty you're a successful guy, and you're focused, and you're moving yourself forward. What are some of those daily habits that have helped you move towards your success or become successful?
Yeah, so many. And it's funny that you hit on this, because rituals for me are the biggest thing. If my strongest skill is work ethic, my second strongest skill is discipline. And I'm probably one of the most disciplined people that you'll meet. it's just really ingrained. I feel like you have to have a methodical approach to success. If you want to be successful, it's not going to happen by accident. So for me personally, everything changed when I started doing the Miracle Morning. This is by Hal Elrod, a book called The Miracle Morning. So it's a morning routine. For me, it's a pretty intense routine that includes affirmation, a little bit of exercise, includes reading, includes, a bunch of other stuff, gratitude journal, stuff like that. But that is the keystone for me. So if I'm waking up early, which for me is 6, that might not be early for some people. It might be super early for other people.
Yeah.
But if I'm waking up at 6 and I've got my morning routine, I know that by the time the day starts, which my day starts, I start work just before 8 o'clock. And by the time the day starts, it's already successful. No matter what happens the rest of the day, I'm good. And it all starts in that morning routine. And when I do that morning routine, my day is awesome. When I don't do that morning routine, my day usually sucks. So it's all dependent on making sure that I start strong and be focused. And it's the difference between rolling over in bed and flicking on Facebook or social media, and the next thing you know, it's 45 minutes later, or being disciplined, getting out of bed and, grabbing a glass of water, doing some push-ups, throwing in like motivational tape in my ears or something. Some people might make fun of that, but I found that actually gets me really pumped up and focused. And then that carries over into my day.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm right there with you. It's the same thing. I dive in and get water, get hydrated. And then, the kids, actually, I incorporated my kids are younger. So they jump in and start doing their morning routine and, working out and meditation. They all have Muse headsets. So they wear the Muse headbands, and then they do like 5 minutes of calmness, I guess. So it's cool.
Yeah.
So.
I love that, man. That's awesome.
I think that's very critical for success, is having some sort of structure first thing in the morning, whether you get up at 4, 6, 8, it doesn't matter, is the fact that you're getting up and you have some sort of structure, you're moving yourself forward, and you're already setting up that first part of your day successfully, so you can then tackle the rest of the day and be strong and confident and courageous. So definitely a cool thing there. So I want to dive in a little bit. I want to learn a little bit more about self-publishing school, your new book and everything. So tell me a little bit of details and the insights of self-publishing school.
Yeah. So self-publishing school, it's an online training program. We teach people how to write, market, and publish their book.
Okay.
So our whole thing is we'll take you from blank page to best-selling author in 90 days. It's fast paced. We don't mess around. yeah. So it's, and that's spending 30 minutes to an hour a day. Wow. So that's the framework. It's step-by-step process. It's what I wish I had when I did my first book.
Sure.
So we, you know, we've had thousands of people go through this program. I've never seen a success rate as high as our success rate. Our students are really successful. Our big pillars are accountability and coaching. So okay. We hold people accountable. They'll get their book done, and then we coach them up to make sure they're successful. The one thing that I'm really good at is marketing. And then the one thing that I used to really suck at was writing. So you know how they say, like, the best players, if we're talking sports, the best players are often the worst coaches.
Right.
And the worst players are often the best coaches because they know what it means to struggle. I'd like to say that that's true for me when it comes to writing. I was the worst. And so I know how to teach it in a way that literally anyone can understand it. It's such a simple process that, you know, you could have tripped and fell on your head five times as a kid and not be all there, and you can come in and do this. Like, it is a really simple process. So that's what we do. The new book is called Published.
Sure.
It's the proven path from blank page to published okay. author. So this is, this is like one of those things where a lot of people, I don't know if you get this, Josh, but a lot of people are like, oh, this is just probably going to be a sales pitch for self-publishing school, right? I'm like, no, this is like all of my best stuff in this freaking book. And it's like, it's really good. It's the step-by-step process, literally from how to, okay, I have an idea to, I need to write it, so I need to hire an editor. I need to come up with a book title. I need to get a cover done. How do I market this thing? How do I position it? Like, it's literally end to end. So that's what I'm all about, is teaching step-by-step.
Sure.
And I'm a firm believer that if people are willing to put in the work and they have the right tools, so something that's a step-by-step process that they can follow, then they can be successful. But sometimes where I know I got confused when I was just starting out, as people would say, like, all right, here's all the things that you can and should do. And I'm like, okay, well, what do I do first? Like, do I do this? I don't know how any of this interfaces with anything. So that's kind of what the goal was with that book.
Awesome. And so with self-publishing school, then, you guys then kind of pretty much walk people through the whole process, and then you're coaching them along the way to, you know, for their book, whether they're stuck at a certain part or whatever. So it's more of the hands-on kind of help you through the process. And then the new book Published, that says, okay, here's the process, how you do it.
Yeah.
And it takes you step by step. You can go do it. Is the other option.
Or you can ask us to help us. Yeah.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So now we're offering them both options and for people to do that. Where do you see people most getting hung up when they're writing their book? So they're going through self-publishing school. Where's that, like, that kind of that bottleneck for people that makes it the most difficult?
It's before they get their rough draft finished. And this is, people really get hung up on this. So there's a few mistakes. We only have two rules inside self-publishing school. One is you can't write more than one book at one time. The second one is that you can't edit while you write.
Okay.
The latter is what hangs up most people. They try to edit as they write, and and that's just a recipe for disaster. You got to get to the rough draft finish line. Then you're going to see the light at the end of the tunnel, because before you finish that rough draft, you still kind of don't believe that you can actually do it. And you're like, yeah, I'm kind of working on a book, but I don't know if I'm ever going to finish it. And so if you get that rough draft finished, that's the game changer. That's where exponentially the success rate goes up with our students when they finish that rough draft.
Okay.
And that leads me to the last mistake that people make, which is when they're trying to write a book, the running joke is that, you know, when a writer's on a deadline, because that's when they'll be on Facebook the most, or social media, because writing can be a painful process.
Sure.
And so the thing that I see people struggle with is they try to do too much. And so they'll come and they'll be like, Chandler, I need to come up with a title for my book. I'll say, hey, have you finished the rough draft? I'll say, no. I'll say, okay, cool. Don't talk to me about a title. We're not talking about the title. I'll say, I need a cover. Don't talk to me about a cover. Have you finished your rough draft? I'll say, hey, Chandler, let's talk about how I'm going to market this book. I'm like, don't talk to me about that. Have you finished your rough draft? Like, especially if it's your first book, you have to prove to yourself that you can finish that rough draft.
Right.
And once you do, then it's rolling a snowball downhill, right? It gets much easier.
Cool. No, that's awesome. And then, what I, so they, you know, they kind of get all that done. What's, you know, what's been your success? You said you're great with the marketing and everything. What's been your success to really get the books out there and to get that best-selling author and to really get people aware of it and start selling them?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I've had multiple best-selling books published. We just launched it. We launched it on the same day as Tim Ferriss's Tools of Titans. That was just kind of bad luck that happened.
Thanks, Tim.
but we hit number 170 in all of Amazon. We were number 4 in all of self-help. Tim was number 2.
That's
awesome.
We were
right behind him. When I say the book bestseller, some people are confused about what that means. I mean, like, in a legitimate category. We're not talking underwater basket weaving or some obscure category on Amazon. You know, this is the real deal.
Right.
And so that's the success that we've had. I mean, we've had people sign publishing deals after self-publishing through our school. We've had people, book thousands of dollars in speaking gigs. We've had people, use a book to transform their business,
right,
bring in tens of thousands of dollars. It's all across the board. And I want to just really stress that the success doesn't end just when you publish your book.
So with like self-publishing school and the books and everything you have coming out, what's kind of that legacy that you want to leave as you are creating all this?
I want to know that long after I leave this earth, that I've made the world a better place. And this goes back to the story about my buddy Kendall. Is I want to know that, when I'm laying on my deathbed, that I left it all out on the field, and that long after I'm on this earth, what I've created in the business, because this is, my native genius or whatever you want to call it. The way that I feel like I can leave the biggest impact is through business, because it's just a skill that I have. And so I want to know that my business is going to last long after I'm off this earth and is still making the world a better place. What that looks like, I mean, just to quantify it, is either, I mean, it's at least $100 million, if not $1 billion plus company. And because that's when I know, like, it'll actually make a widespread impact.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're definitely touching a lot of people for sure.
Sure.
At that level. So we just got a few minutes left. Just wanted to see where can people find out more information about you, self-publishing school, and everything else?
Yeah. So you can head on over to self-publishingschool.com. That's our site. There's a blog there as well. We put out tons of free content, free videos, webinars, trainings, you name it. There's a ton of free stuff there. And then for the book, it's either on Amazon, you can find it there, or you can go to self-publishingschool.com/published. And that's basically, we've got some free copies available over there. All you have to do is cover shipping and handling.
So. Oh, awesome. And tell me, what's one piece of technology that you just can't live without?
Slack. It's team communication for a virtual team. Actually, Slack and Asana.
Okay.
That 1-2 combo, Asana for project management, Slack for team communication.
Cool. Awesome. Any last parting words you want to leave with our listeners before we go?
Leave it on the field.
Leave it on the
field.
Get
after it. Don't lose because of lack of effort. And a lot of people are losing because of lack of effort. And I don't want to be like a Gary Vaynerchuk, like, you got to hustle, you got to grind. I'm not going to go very far with that, but I do believe that the one thing that you can control in life is effort. And I love that part about Gary's message. I mean, I resonate with a lot of what he says. Sometimes it can be a little much, but I really do think that the one thing that you can control is effort. So don't lose because of effort.
Definitely. No, I mean, I think that's effort. Effort is critical. You can dream, you can set your goals, but if you don't take that action and continuously put that effort out there at whatever level, suits you best to make things happen, it's going to sit in the same spot it was when you came up with the idea. So
100%.
I really appreciate you coming on the show today. It was an honor to have you on Making Bank, spend some time, learn some more about what you have going on. I'd definitely like to have you back again in the future. And again, thank you for your time today, Chandler.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me.
For sure. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank. You get out and be extraordinary.